speaker pointed out, the subject of our lecture today is God, prayer, forgiveness. As rightly pointed out by one Christian author, that most of us regard God as the airman would regard his parachute. He is happy that it is available for emergency, but he sincerely hopes that he will never have to use it. So also for us, God is there, almost like some emergency thing on which we can lean on when there is trouble, when there is suffering, when there are problems of life, difficult circumstances. And that too we know, how we exhaust all our possibilities which are there. We try out all different ways of escaping from that calamity, getting happiness, and as a last resort, you turn to God for help. Now, this is what we do as far as God is concerned. It's not as if day to day, time to time, moment to moment, we are really aware of this God. And that also is beautifully brought out in our excerpt, which is titled as God's Letter. It is as it were, God is writing to a person that what do you do really? The entire day passes and I'm eager to speak to you, but what do you do? So he says that you got up in the morning, you brushed your teeth, you had your breakfast, I thought you will speak to me. Then you were ready to go to the office. You spent 20 minutes in dressing up, choosing the correct dress. You went to office, immersed yourself into working, and in between the lunchtime and the work, you had some half an hour free. You even told yourself that you are feeling bored. But even then, you did not think of talking to me. I thought now you will turn to me. But you picked up the phone and started talking to a friend. At lunch hour, everybody was, as it were, offering their grace for the food they were getting. But you started eating without remembering me. Evening came, you went home. You again spent time sitting before television. Night came, you went to sleep. You were not getting sleep. So I thought, now definitely you will speak to me. But then you started planning for the next day. And so the day is over. But the God says that I am patient, my child. I love you and I always will love you. And I know sooner or later you will turn to me. Now, this is what is actually depicting the picture of our attitude towards God. That how many times really we are aware of this God, or we think of this presence which is the divinity and which is the all thing, mighty thing which is moving this universe. Now, as it says, sooner or later we will have to turn. Whether when it is after a few months or a few years at the end of this lifetime because of some calamity, there again some people, they do not turn to God. There are atheists. And they will say that they will take all the difficulties of life without having to resort to anything, any power like God. They will sort it out, their problems themselves. So it is not as if even the calamities and problems will make a person turn to God. And so we see that there are these two major opposing classes which are always been there. There are believers in God, the theists, and there are non-believers in God, or atheists. Now, the argument which is put forward by the theists, and which is coming from actually no less a group than the scientists, because you can see in your very first quotation, we see that in support of believing that the God exists, what are they putting forward? They are saying, everywhere you look, there are these terrifically, finely adjusted conscience. They have to be just what they are. And there is no intrinsic reason for those constants to be what they are, except to say God made them that way. God made heaven and earth, if that is what science has come to. Now this is written, of course, by this author John Updike in his book Roger's Version. Now what are these constants? You can see that some sort of order and intelligence is seen very intuitively by these people who have observed nature. And we are given, this was by the way a very nice article in one of the old issues of the Week magazine, and there this quotation comes. And we are told that scientists have observed that there are these constants in nature. For example, they have found that if the electromagnetic force, which is some 1039 times greater than the gravitational force, if this were not so, if it was slightly higher or even slightly lower, then the stars would burn a billion times faster. Stars would have a mass which would be billion times more than what they have now, and so on and so forth. And then you will find that the universe would have been plunged into darkness by now. Life is supported because there are these constants. Second thing they have observed is that of all the liquids, it is water which is in the solid form lighter than in the liquid form. So ice floats on water. If that was not so, ice would sink. Then oceans would start freezing up from bottom upwards. And then very quickly Earth would have been covered with ice all over. And maybe now we would not have any vegetation, but we would be covered with ice. Now, this is all these small, small observations they have made. And they feel, who else but some supreme intelligence, some supreme power, which is there, call it God or what you like, it is because of that intelligence that the universe is having this kind of what we can call as implicit order, which is there in the universe. Now, we can easily see that that is why in theosophy we say that God is law. That you cannot really separate God from law. Another name for God is law. And that there is this intelligent law which is working impartially, unerringly, justly, impersonally. And that is why things, as we say in the children's book, that stars, moons, sun, all that is kept in place, they are because of this law. Now, on the other hand, the argument put forward by the atheists is that if there is this God that you talk about, one who is omnipotent, one who is supposed to be very compassionate and merciful, how is it that there is so much suffering and evil? Why would not this God, who is all powerful, interfere in some way, prevent people from murdering each other? Why are there wars? Why are these pestilences? Why are the floods? Why are the epidemics coming now and then and wiping away people? Why this all-powerful and all-merciful God keeping silent? So, there is definitely no God. We will have occasion to go back to this argument again. So, thus we have two camps. And there is, as it were, no possibility of reconciling. Now, interestingly, again, we find that this article is there mentioning about, very recently, a theoretical physicist, Stephen Unwin. He has proved what is the probability mathematically to prove that God exists. So he has taken evidences impartially from those who believe in the existence of God and those who do not believe. All these evidences he has converted into mathematical format, and using something which is known in the statistics as Bayes' theorem, he started with the assumption that there is 50-50 chance, half and half probability that God exists. Feeding the data, he comes to the conclusion mathematically that there is 67% likelihood that God exists.